And so when we look at about external callings, I was thinking about in Scripture, where do you see that? Something occurring externally. And I think of the disciples. These were men who were busy about doing what they were doing. They were tax collectors and fishermen, and they were doing stuff. See? Jesus saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And the most amazing thing happened. He arose and he followed him.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Dr. Randy continues his series, Life in Transition. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you much, Kurt, and welcome to the Intentional Living Center as we're continuing through this very first week of January. And again, I want to thank all of you who prayed so hard and worked with us through the Christmas season and calling. You know, it was a lot of intensity there, year-end push to really wrap up the year, and the mail's still coming in and so on, and we'll give you a report maybe another day or two, certainly by the end of the week, on how things have turned out, okay? And we'll get to that. Today, we continue the series on life in transition. And you heard me in the intro there talk about these external transitions, the things that happen in your life that are external. And all of a sudden, boom, there it is. But sometimes it's an aha moment or an internal transition that occurs. And we're going to talk about both kinds of transitions today. Why is this important? Because the reality is life is full of transitions. I don't care how much you want to hang on to what's going on today. Transitions are coming. The world's changing around us. Your marriage is changing, your health, your strength. That's just life. It's part of the process. How we handle transition is huge, and that's what we're talking about here at Intentional Living. I'd love to hear your feedback. What transitions are you going through here early in 2018, looking forward toward this year? Maybe not looking forward toward, but it's a reality. Share it with us. We'd love to hear. 888-888-1717 and press number 2. All right, let's move on over to the teaching studio where I recorded with staff and friends who had stopped by this series on Life in Transition, Day 2.
When we look at about external callings, I was thinking about in Scripture, where do you see that? Something occurring externally, and I think of the disciples. These were men who were busy about doing what they were doing. They were tax collectors and fishermen, and they were doing stuff, see? And then we look in Scripture and we see in the book of Matthew, it says in Matthew 9:9, then as Jesus passed on from there, so he was passing through, he was moving through, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And the most amazing thing happened. He arose and he followed him. You talk about an external, something going on externally that went inside of this guy, that he would stand up and follow Jesus. Obviously, it had to be seen what Jesus had been doing or something. But you talk about something starting out one day, going in this direction, and by the end of the day, you're transitioned into going into another direction. Some transitions are almost like that. And some of you have probably had that in your life, where you just kind of, and then boom, all of a sudden. You know what? It can happen again. It could happen to any one of us today. That this is why it's so critical for us as followers of Christ that we be so spiritually sensitive, that we're aware when testing the spirits, is this something from God or is this something from man? Because we all know people who've had circumstances or situations where they've made decisions and they got on the wrong path, right? Oh, I think this is the right thing to do, and they transition into something that blows up in their face, because they didn't spend the time to really understand and discern, is this coming from God or not? But the reality is, you never know when this could happen in your life or in my life. Not only can transition start externally, but it can also start internally. And you know, if I were to ask you who my favorite character is from the Old Testament, some of you would say,
Nehemiah.
Thank you, Nehemiah. Thank you, class. And for lots of reasons, Nehemiah is a character in the Old Testament that just really illustrates so many wonderful principles about life. But when you look at the life of Nehemiah and his story, it started with a question. He asked the question, what's going on back at the homeland, see? And as a result of that, he went very deep internally. Because he heard the answer that things were really rough back in Jerusalem. The gates were burned. The walls had been collapsed. And even said that the people were in disarray. Now, somebody else could have heard that and not responded to it. But Nehemiah heard it, and he went very deep. Because you see in Nehemiah 1:4, look at what he says. He says, so it was when I heard these words. He says that I sat down and I wept and I mourned and I fasted for many days before the God of heaven. And as I read that, I was thinking, in your life and in my life, there's moments that I think God wants to speak to us. And sometimes we don't go deep to really understand what he's saying. If you follow this biblically, you see it was about a 4-month period that he did this before he made any decisions. He did nothing for about 4 months. He fasted, he prayed, he mourned, he was really seeking God. And I've told the story and illustrated through Moses. You know, as Moses was called by the burning bush, which is kind of an interesting way of calling someone, isn't it? Here's a burning bush. And the scripture says in Exodus that when Moses saw this thing, he turned. And it was only after he turned that God spoke to him. God didn't speak to him before he turned. And it made me think about this, that there's these things that go on in our lives, and we're such a noisy, busy culture in which we live. You ever have those moments where you ask a question like Nehemiah, and then really just stop and listen?
You're listening to Dr. Andy's teaching from Life in Transition, and he'll continue in just a moment. When you become a new monthly member, we'll send you the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which includes autographed copies of Dr. Randy's bestsellers, Starve for Affection and The Power of One Thing, the One Thing wristband, and his coaching CDs every month. Call 1-888-1717 and press option number 4. Again, that's 1-888-1717 during West Coast business hours, or go to theintentionallife.com. Thanks. Don't go too far. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever tried to lose weight, quit drinking, save money? You start strong, and then it doesn't work. How do you really get a life change to stick?
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
Every good plan for change has some system accountability. You can even be accountable to yourself in a journal. Just make sure you commit to write and follow your plan for 30 days. Here's the game changer. Start every journal with an entry for something you're grateful for. It can be, thank you that I got a walk in the sun today, or thank you, I made a healthy breakfast for the family this morning. The higher the gratitude, the greater the optimism, and the more you're going to walk towards some real freedom at finally last. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Greg Jantz.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. With your monthly gift to the ministry, you'll receive not only today's program, but all of them from this multi-part teaching. Go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-1717, and press number 4. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Now, let's get back to Dr. Andy as he continues today's teaching.
There's these things that go on in our lives, and we're such a noisy, busy culture in which we live. You ever have those moments where you ask a question like Nehemiah, and then really just stop and listen? And how that could transition us? I think some of us should be asking the question, what in the world is going on in my family? What's happening in my family? And then really spend 4 months in fasting and prayer
and really seeking God to say, what's going on? Lord, what are you teaching me? What's my role in this? What should I be doing? How do I fit into this? Some of us need to see that burning bush and say, God, speak to me. What are you trying to tell me through that burning bush experience? And really listen. In practical terms, some of you and me in our lives, we look back and we say, you know, there was a time that I came to one of those moments and I just blew right through it and I didn't stop. And now I'm paying for it. I'm paying for it now. And instead of stopping and looking back and saying, hey, Lord, there's forgiveness and restoration, I'm going to learn a lesson, I'm going to, you know, be where I want to be, we get stuck. But sometimes these transitions that we're talking about that are certainly life-changing can begin internally. You ever have moments like that? Have you ever had those reflective moments where you sense that something's a little different than what you were thinking about yesterday? Or there's something in your spirit that's just a little different than it was last week. And you know what? If you're not sensitive to that, we get just sucked into the busyness of the day. But we see for Nehemiah, he could have just blown on by this and said, well, that's really too bad. We need to pray for them. God is good. He'll do what he's going to do and get back to his cup-bearing responsibilities in the palace where it's warm and comfortable and all that. But he fasted and prayed, and we know it changed his life. 52 days later, he'd gone back, rebuilt the walls, and never came home. I mean, that was to change the course of his life. So when we think about transition, how did Nehemiah respond to this transition? He responded by fasting and praying, reflecting, and asking God what he had for him, and then acted on that. So that was the way Nehemiah approached the transition in his life. Also, transitions can be very life-changing. I think of a young man, I think I've shared his story before, many years ago, that we got a call from a nurse who said, we got a young man here in our rehab hospital, his name is Ty. And he's about 25, 26 years old, young man here in town. And he was riding his motorcycle, his motor scooter actually, down to the University of Arizona as a student. And he got hit. And as a result of the accident, it broke his neck at the C1, which is 95% chance you're not going to survive. But he did. But he was unable to move anything except his eyes and his lips. And when he spoke, it was just with breath and breathing. But he listened to Family Life Radio. He listened to us on the radio. And a nurse over there called us here one day and said, you know, this young man is here and he listens to you all. You think you could come over and see him? And we went over to see him, thinking we were going to do him a favor. Hello? You with me? And he did us a favor. See? But here's all of a sudden this young man who's going down the road in one direction, and all of a sudden he's gone into an instant transition that moved him to a life-changing experience. And I've shared before, but when we got done with our meeting, talking to him and so on, and he couldn't speak very loudly, and when he did, it was very quiet. I mean, he was just, could just whisper, and it was elongated whenever he spoke. So he learned to be able to blow into a tube and type out the letters on a screen. But he wanted to say something to us before we left. And the nurse could tell, saying, he wants to say something to you. And I got very close to him so I could hear him, probably a foot from his mouth. And this is what he said to me. He said, tell them about Jesus. That's all he said. And I thought to myself, wow, went there to do him a favor. He did me a favor. He's in heaven today. Boy, that was, you know, one of those moments you have in life that you remember. And he certainly impacted my life in that brief encounter with him, knowing he's in heaven today, certainly celebrating freedom. We're talking about life and transition. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good. Sometimes they're happy, and sometimes they're not so happy. Sometimes they're unexpected, sometimes they are expected. But realizing that transition is a part of life and how we can handle them intentionally makes all the difference. It really does. Just before we move on, because at the end of the series, I always take the microphone, we pass it around, we ask staff and visitors to share their reaction to what I taught, what they've learned, and we did that for this series as well, and I'll share those with you in a moment. Before we do, I just want to, two things. One is thank those of you who have been just so faithful in supporting the ministry in 2017, and I promise that we're going to give you a report because, you know, we just got back and the mail's still coming in, so we've decided we're going to get everything added up, and I'll give you a report on Friday exactly how the year ended because I think it's important for you to know because you worked with us in trying to close out the year. But let me say as we begin the new year with your resolutions, with your goals, and the focus that you have for your life, I think having intentional living be a part of it can be something positive. And what does that mean? Your support of the ministry will help others around the country and around the world. Your monthly support will make a difference. And then every month I get to send you a brand new CD teaching you can download and listen and learn from on intentional living. And two of our best-selling books, all coming in a new member kit, The Power of One Thing and Starve for Affection. Just join us today, would you? Thank you. Your support matters. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com and click on donate. Okay? Again, at the end of the series, we pass the mic around. Here's some of the comments.
I think for me, kids was the biggest humbling experience. It's not all about me. What? I have to sacrifice every moment of the day. So that was a big transition for us as we went for 8 years without any kids, and so transitioning in our marriage to going from no kids to all of a sudden having kids and the dynamic change within the marriage and personally. Positive things, but also stretching things.
When I was in my early 20s, I was employed by this company and ended up working for them for 19 years and 9 months. And one day, I got called into the office, and they had been downsizing, and I knew that I was next. I was manager, and it was time. So, you know, one day you're in a secure job, and you are happy with climbing the ladder and, you know, within a company for so long, and then next day you're unemployed and start going to school again and things like that. So there were some changes that needed to be made, and you just learn not to be comfortable in your own lifestyle at one point in time because, yes, like you said, snap of a finger, things can happen.
Mm-hmm. Some good transitions.
I'm going through a transition right now with my father. He's in final stages of cancer and kind of entering that period of his life where the interaction is no longer there. And my father was my mentor and my go-to person.
Yeah.
So I'm experiencing now, you know, where do you lean? And fortunately, I'm surrounded by a beautiful company of God-loving people, a lot of prayer, a lot of support, and it's teaching you to rely on God more.
That's good. Thank you, Carla.
There was a big transition for me when I became a Christian. I had been raised Catholic, went to Catholic school all the way up to graduating high school, and that was my life. And moving here to Tucson, I mean, the Lord, it just, what I learned was the Lord had so many things planned in my life. Looking back, I could see his hand. And it was a transition not just for me, but for my children as well. Because I was raising them as Catholic too at the time. And especially for my son, because he was really upset that he didn't make his first communion like his big sister did. So that was kind of a rough thing. So we had a special little ceremony for him. But, you know, sometimes transitions don't just affect you. They affect the people around you, too.
Well, example of that is Job. Have you ever asked the question, what about Job's kids? We see what God's doing with Job, but God also did something with Job's kids. And sometimes these transitions, you're caught up in something that's bigger that's going on, that in a spiritual sense that God's doing that we can't comprehend, humanly speaking, or even think it's fair. Now, you know, is that fair? Job's children are taken, but it's not a fairness. It's God's will, and God's doing something. And so sometimes things happen, and we don't understand it. Others, transition.
I think for us, it was when we lost our daughter, Zuri. I think it was an instantaneous, like when it was like the veil was pulled away, this illusion of control. I think I had this kind of sense that I had control before that. And it was like instantaneously that feeling was gone. And so that transition was suddenly, okay, before that I was living under this illusion of control in my marriage with my life. And then that was gone. So then I had to kind of relearn, what does it mean to live in a world where I don't have any control? And I think I could have gone into a dark place. But I think God stepped in, and people stepped in to help keep me from going there. Realizing that lack of control isn't always necessarily a bad thing. That there is a great deal of comfort in knowing that there's nothing that we can do, that it's in God's hands. And so I think just that transition for me, very painful, like you talked about, an incredibly painful process, but you know, it was a instantaneous moment.
Yeah. Thank you, Derek. Yeah, Matt.
I'll share the story of how we left Florida and came here, just the first part of that. Angela and I got married in 1994. In 95, we went on a little vacation on our first anniversary and began praying about God changing my job. I was working at the Home Shopping Network. I was on pager 24 hours a day, could be woken up at any time to cover problems that were going on at work, people calling off sick. It just wasn't good for starting a family to just be constantly interrupted like that. So we began praying about God changing my job. So it was 95. In February of 96, I got laid off from Home Shopping Network with 200 other people. And that same day, that week, there were many other layoffs. They were going through a massive restructuring. Home Shopping was sold many times over its history. And I met with the VP of Human Resources, had a very nice meeting with her. I think they generally expect people to lash out and be angry and everything. I didn't do that. At the end of the meeting, she said, I'm not going to give you your severance package. Just hold on. Come back in a week and go see the front office. I'm going to rework your severance package.
Oh.
So I went back a week later, and they said, we don't know where your severance package is because she got laid off a day or two after you did. So a friend of mine that was working in HR that I'd worked with for many years, because we had a lot of turnover in that department, she said, I'll go figure out what's going on and get it together for you. So I went back a little bit later, picked it up, went home, opened it up, and there was a check in there. And I looked at this check, and I showed it to Angela, and I said, look how much money this is. And I don't know what happened. They essentially paid me for the rest of the year. And this was in February.
Wow.
Angela was pregnant with Harrison, and I was home during that entire time when we went to the hospital and had him, and I looked for other work and everything, you know, and nothing materialized until later on that year when Rick Livingood, who was my old roommate in college, he used to work for Family Life Radio and told me about the position out here, and we ended up out here.
Wow.
It was crazy, and God provided in a miraculous way, and just about the time the money ran out, we moved to Tucson.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow. I didn't know that part of the story. Boy, we got amazing stories here. We should write a book. The Amazing Stories of Family Life and Staff. It's good. Well, transitions, it's important. I mean, you prepare for them, but you can't always plan on them. But this, as Christians, if you're not a follower of Christ, I don't know where your foundation is. You gotta play mental games to get through this stuff. But as Christians, we have the hope in Christ, and that's the key.
I was listening to you today when you were talking to Marty, who has muscular dystrophy, what he and his wife are facing. I am 72. 20 years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and I went from being very active to a wheelchair by 1992. Thank goodness it's just my legs that don't work. I can still bake bread, I can still get meals, I can still do laundry, I can still drive my car. And my husband is very, very supportive. Dad and the Lord have helped. And my faith has been deepened. Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said. Of hope is Christ alone.
Christ alone. Jesus plus nothing. Really, that's what it is. All the trappings of other things. Interesting and fun. Even during the holiday season, the Christmas season, we have a lot of traditional things. But it's all about Him and our relationship with Him. And that story of hope, she shared that story. Did you hear that? Even though I can't walk, these are the things that God allows me to do. Great attitude. Hey, we're wrapping up today, but we have more in this series of Life in Transition. And before we do today, wrap it up, I just want to again invite you who are looking into 2018 squarely and saying, I got a choice to make. Am I going to be intentional in my life or not? That we would like to come alongside of you and walk with you and encourage you in this process, not only on the radio, but in a practical way, by every month sending to you the main teaching of the month on CD or CDs as a way of saying thank you for your monthly support. Just join us at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And thank you for your support. More tomorrow from Intentional Living.